Welcome to Color Country Politics, where we discuss all the important political issues facing Iron County, Utah. Our guests include elected officials and community leaders in or representing Iron County.
This is Episode 17, Council Candidate Forum, Barry Short, Cedar City.
Welcome back to Color Country Politics. I'm Jenny Hendricks. I'm here with Jesse Harris.
Hello.
And we are continuing our candidate interviews for the municipal elections. And today we're thrilled to have Barry Short with us.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
So just like we're doing sort of with all of the candidates, we're asking everybody sort of the same questions. Let's start with a really, really difficult topic. Tell us about yourself.
Okay. Well, you know, as somebody who's run for office, obviously I hate to do that. I will confess, as one of the previous people who's been in and for this interview has done, I did grow up in California. I have lived here in Cedar City, however, for 15 years.
Okay.
So I've been here quite a while. I'm not a new transplant.
I've noticed we get a different kind of California refugee in Utah.
I think largely, yeah.
Yeah, very much. I was certainly a guy who got very frustrated with the way things had gotten there. I grew up in California. I was born in Pomona, grew up in San Dimas, California, which, of course, is best known now as the home of Bill and Ted. although they didn't shoot any of the movie. But anyway.
No, Phoenix. Weirdly,
that's right. But I come into this from an entrepreneurial side.
Okay.
I've been a business owner pretty much all of my adult life. I haven't received a paycheck from any outside employer since 1985.
Wow.
So I come in with the mindset of somebody who takes what money I have, what assets I have, and I get the absolute most out of them that I possibly can. I've been accused of being tight occasionally. You know, that if you hand me a quarter, I can make George cry. and you know what? I can. And I'm a little bit proud of it, actually. Because if you'll recall in one of the more controversial episodes that we had last year, one of the things that one of our members of the council said was that the RAP tax is sacred. Well, that's true. But the fact is that all of the tax money is sacred. And it all needs to be treated as if, you know, every dollar that's being spent is a dollar that got taken out of somebody's pocket. Mm-hmm. That it's a dollar they're not spending on their family, they're not spending on their home, they're not spending on their entertainment. And so I come in with the idea that we really need to be a little more focused about taking care of the people's money and handling it responsibly.
So what made you decide to go ahead and throw your hat in the ring this time?
A number of phone calls and chat messages from various people saying, Barry, would you please run? You know, there are changes happening in the council with this election, with those that are leaving or maybe staying, and we need somebody here to be a voice for real tight fiscal conservatism. And so if that's my role, I'm more than willing to take it on.
That's great. What, in your opinion, does the city do well? What is the city doing well right now?
The city's doing a lot of things very well. In fact, most cities do a lot of things really well. The secondary question that comes with that is, are we doing them as well as we possibly could? You know, we're looking, I think, mostly at some very incremental changes, but I think there are a lot of things that we could do. Our park system is wonderful. All of our various festivals and celebrations. And, you know, in the 15 years that I've been here, I think this city has become far more welcoming to the tourist trade. Mm-hmm. And not just tourists from foreign areas, but even from within the state. Mm-hmm. With things like, well, we've got the summer games about to start. Mm-hmm. Here as we're recording. Mm-hmm. This. So I think we've done a really great job with those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I want to see us continue to expand the opportunities for those. Sure. Sorts of things. Because the great thing about tourists is that they bring in money and they don't use a whole lot of our resources.
Exactly.
That's true.
Yeah, exactly. That's great.
So what do you think are the things that the city can improve upon?
Well, one of the things that's been talked about a lot, and I know will be talked about a whole lot more over the course of This Is Jobs. Mm-hmm. And the city's done a fairly good job with initiating things along those lines, but it hasn't always done a really good job of following up on them or understanding how and why they happen. We just had in the last couple of days the announcement of the new plastics factory mm-hmm. from GOAX. Now, that's a company out of Wisconsin that's coming out here to build an additional manufacturing facility. Okay, that's interesting. It sounds like there are going to be a number of really good jobs for people here in the city and in the county. So that's all really positive. Well, why did they choose Cedar City? At this point, we don't quite know the answer to that. And if we knew more about the answer to why various companies choose Cedar City, it would actually give us a great leg up in recruiting others to come and do it.
Knowing your strengths and your weaknesses.
Know your strengths and your weaknesses. Okay, why are they locating here in Cedar City out in the Port 15 area as opposed to locating in St. George? Mm-hmm. You know, obviously there were factors. This deal was apparently brokered through the Governor's Office of Economic Development. Mm-hmm. We need to find out exactly what that deal is. We don't know the details of that at this point. And I really do want to know about that because I'm always a little suspicious of going.
Which is the Governor's Office of Economic Development.
The Governor's Office of Economic Development, right. Because they sometimes lure people with money. The problem with luring people with money is that you don't necessarily get people who are loyal to the place they're going to. They're loyal to the money that mm-hmm. drew them there, which means that when the money dries up, they go looking to go somewhere else.
And it's the classic prisoner's dilemma of every state's trying to outbid each other.
Exactly, exactly. And we don't want to get into that because if we're going to create jobs in that way, we want to create permanent jobs. Mm-hmm. We're not just gunslingers trying to, you know, get somebody here for 5 years and then they pack up and leave and go to whoever throws a bigger check at them. Mm-hmm. We want to find out what are conditions about Cedar City that makes it attractive to those businesses, because then we can go out looking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right now, we're really kind of at a disadvantage in attempting to do that because we haven't put all those things in place.
Yeah, you don't want to end up in a horrible situation like with Huawei in Wisconsin, where they made these big promises, they don't deliver for a few years, now they're banned in the U.S. and
yeah. Right.
Everyone's trying to not be holding the bag.
Yeah.
Right. Right. We want people who are going to come here because they want to be part of this community, mm-hmm. not just because we paid them to show up and sing for us for a little while and then leave.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my approach to it. And again, because of my business background, I think I can kind of take a leadership position in helping to identify those things that actually make Cedar City a desirable location. And there are a lot of them that we know about. We know we have a good workforce here mm-hmm. that's looking for better paying jobs than what are currently available in many instances.
Yeah.
We know we've got the university here that can back up when you need, you know, some specific educational capabilities to drive that workforce. Mm-hmm. We have the technical college mm-hmm. for businesses that might need that kind of education. And all of these things are able to work together. And I believe those, by working that, we can actually get some things that will be valuable to us over a really long term, mm-hmm. not just, oh, look, we threw a party.
Yeah, that is very good, having that long-term vision. It does seem that sometimes people don't think beyond the next, you know, 5 to 10 years mm-hmm. and, you know, thinking of those generational things, you know, those companies. Like, we have some companies locally that really have ingrained themselves in the communities, like, you know, Levitt Group.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I know they're a little controversial sometimes, but,
sure.
you know, they provide a lot of jobs, they fund a lot of, you know, philanthropy, mm-hmm. and, you know, they are, for better or worse, I say for better, you know, one of our cornerstones of the community.
Sure.
If you're not occasionally controversial, it means you're probably not doing much.
You're not trying that.
That's kind of how the territory works.
That's fair.
That's great. So tell us, what are your goals if you are elected? What do you want to accomplish?
Well, obviously that's one of them, mm-hmm. to continue the process of making this a community that's attractive to businesses. One of the things that I think will help contribute to that is that I'd really like to launch an intensive project to go through all of our regulatory laws in this city, and all of the licensing applications, everything, and go through them and determine what's really necessary as opposed to what's there because it's been on the books for 40 years. One of the things about government is that inertia is huge.
Yeah.
And I think that government doesn't like change very much. It never has. It never will. But it means that every once in a while, it's a good idea for us to just stand back, pull up all of that stuff, and look at it with brand new, fresh eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, if this law wasn't on the books, would we enact it now? Mm. And in many cases, I think we wouldn't. The state of Nebraska last year, interestingly, actually put their entire occupational licensing statutes onto a 3-year rotation where they're going through a third of them every year perpetually to determine whether or not they need to make changes, perhaps even eliminate them. How's that for a radical thought? Maybe we don't need to stand in the way of people all the time. Maybe sometimes we can just get out of the way.
Yeah, there's that big push for occupational licensing reform. We saw it here a number of years ago with the whole hair braiding controversy.
Yes,
and, you know, you see big changes like in Arizona. They said, hey, we're going to be reciprocal. If you're occupationally licensed in another state, you're good here. You don't need to do it again.
Yeah.
That's right. And what, you know, is somebody who's licensed to cut hair in California really likely to cause a lot of mayhem if they come to Utah and cut hair? That seems pretty unlikely to me.
I don't know. Have you seen some hairstyles in San Francisco?
Right.
Well,
I think so. Well,
yeah, you know what? I've seen all sorts of... I lived through the punk era. I have seen all sorts of hairstyles. However, the great news about it is if you don't like it, you cut it off and start over.
Yep.
Yep.
You know, nobody's permanently harmed by spikes.
That's good. I think there are a lot of people from the 80s who might have regrets.
You can't get rid of the pictures.
That's right. It was before the internet, though, so they're right. Not widely disseminated.
They're not quite the same.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, every once in a while I see one on Facebook and I'm like, oh.
Well, I've said if you aren't embarrassed by yourself from 10 years ago, you're probably not doing something right.
Right,
that's
yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
That's exactly right.
Exactly.
So let's say you're stuck in an elevator with someone for a couple of minutes. You've got an opportunity to make your pitch for why you. What do you tell them?
What I would tell people in the quick elevator pitch is this. My goal is to make your taxes lower and leave more money in your pocket. That's it. I mean, I believe every dollar that's taken out of somebody's pocket needs to be treated like it was taken from somebody with force, because taxation is force, whether we like it or not. And I don't believe I can make it all go away. I wish I could, but I know I can't. But I could certainly make it as minimally invasive as possible. And that is my goal. And I think we can accomplish that in ways that aren't about, well, you can't have this and you can't have that. We have an example of that going on right now with the ice rink. I know there are still some details to be worked out and there's a little bit of discussion still to happen there. Mm-hmm. But we have a case of getting a wonderful new facility essentially at no cost to taxpayers. You know, that's an amazing thing. But I think that's a pattern that we can follow. I want to talk about one other thing kind
sure.
of related to that, which is that I was in the meeting of the city council, not the final vote on that, but the preliminary vote of that. And the Parks and Recreation director got up and spoke a little bit there and was talking about demand for gymnasium space, because that's one of the competing elements up on the hill, that we put in an ice rink and build gymnasiums.
Yeah.
But she said something, excuse me, that I thought was really fascinating and that I thought got totally missed in the conversation, which is that she mentioned that we had a private gymnasium built in town. The city had contracted with it for as much space as they were able to get. The city still wanted more space. But in fact, we had private money build a gymnasium in town that that was now being used by Parks and Recreation as part of the use of that building. Now, my understanding of business is that if there's a need, there's a good chance there's somebody out there who wants to fill it. You know, that's how business has worked forever. You know, that you find something that someone wants and you deliver it to them. So my question is this. If, in fact, the city's in a position to use X amount of additional gymnasium space, if I was thinking about building a gymnasium, I might be really interested in putting it someplace where I've got somebody ready to contract for a fair amount of use of that space.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So that means, again, that maybe we can have that not be a taxpayer expense. Maybe we can have that and get what people want. Because, you know, somebody might say, well, I want a gymnasium. Well, they don't really want a gymnasium. What they want is a gymnasium they can play their sport in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't care. They don't really care who owns the gymnasium. Mm-hmm. They want to have space available mm-hmm. to them and the time available to them. So I think by putting somebody on the city council who's got a different approach to what the role of business is, that maybe we can accomplish a whole lot of things and yet not have it be a taxpayer burden to get all of them. That we can deliver the goods without having to buy all the goods ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my pitch.
Okay.
That's a great pitch. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate you coming in. We appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Absolutely. That's great. Thank you for watching. We'll see you soon.
You've been listening to Color Country Politics, a production in cooperation with Utah Politico Hub and graciously sponsored by Century 21 Prestige Realty at 121 North Main Street, Cedar City. Special thanks to Amoeba Crew for use of their song Background Indie Rock, licensed under Creative Commons. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Also, check out our YouTube channel where we post video of our interviews. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and our website at www.colorcountrypolitics.com.